If you would join with me in reaching for your scriptures and turning to the book of Acts. The book of Acts this morning, we will be in chapter 17. Specifically, we're going to be looking at 10 to 15 as we continue Paul's missionary journeys. As he goes from region to region, from peoples to peoples. If you were with us last week, you will notice as you hear this week's sermon, it's very similar. And in some ways, it's practically identical in the format, in the message, in the method, and in the delivery, with one key difference, making this the opposite side of a same coin. In Thessalonica, Paul and Silas preach. It is received by some, it is rejected by some, and then they are run out of town. Here, we are going to be introduced to the Bereans, who have a different response to hearing the Word of God taught. But we will see that format. We will see the Word of God preached, we will see the people hear, we will have response given, and then the story will move forward. This is Paul's model and one that he did as he went from place to place. With that being said, this is a special group of people, and it is one that we should carefully consider. And in fact, I considered a high compliment. I had an elder once at a previous church that in his prayers, he would always pray, "Make us like the Bereans. Oh, that we would be like the Bereans." To know why that is significant, please follow along with me this morning. And even now, I ask that you pray that we indeed would be like these faithful brothers and sisters. Acts chapter 17, beginning in verse 10. The brothers immediately sent Paul and Silas away by night to Berea. And when they arrived, they went into the Jewish synagogue. Now these Jews were more noble than those in Thessalonica. They received the word with all eagerness, examining the scriptures daily to see if these things were so. Many of them therefore believed, with not a few Greek women of high standing as well as men. But when the Jews from Thessalonica learned that the word of God was proclaimed by Paul at Berea also, they came there too, agitating and stirring up the crowds. Then the brothers immediately sent Paul off on his way to the sea, but Silas and Timothy remained there. Those who conducted Paul brought him as far as Athens, and after receiving a command for Silas and Timothy to come to him as soon as possible, they departed. This is the word of the Lord. Would you please bow with me as we ask his blessing upon this time? Dear Heavenly Father, as we approach your word today, I pray that you would reveal yourself to us. That as has already been prayed this morning, that you would open our eyes, our ears, and our hearts, that we might receive your word with gladness, that it might change our lives, that it might make us a people who are quick to go to the scriptures and weigh all things against them. I ask that you watch over us in this time, O God. May you be glorified and may we, your people, be blessed. We pray these things in Christ's name. Amen. I know I have mentioned him before, but as you hold your copy of the Word of God today, you hold something in your hand that historically many men fought, bled, and even died to provide for you. I'm mindful of William Tyndale, the one who, along with many others throughout the ages, was committed and was convicted that the Word of God needed to be, in a word, understood by the people and to the hands of the people of God, that they might read it, believe it, and understand it. By 1526, after having fled England, William Tyndale finished a copy of the Bible into English. He then turned right back around in cloth crates and smuggled those Bibles into England. And when they were found, they were destroyed. And yet he kept going. And he kept creating, and he kept distributing. 10 years after that, William Tyndale himself was captured. He was tried, and he was executed for translating the Bible. May we never take for granted the sacrificial work of people like William Tyndale, who lived and died that we might read the Word of God. But along with that comes a second admonition, something we can't overlook. May we not fail to read that which has been bought with blood. Tyndale fought, lived, and died to get the Word of God into English to help the people read it. I assume your copy today is in English, unless that is not your first language. You have access to the Word of God. We have it before us. We have it on our media devices. We have it in abundance in our homes. People like William Tyndale died that we might read our Bibles. We are proud to live in a country where they are not illegal to own or study. And so I encourage you, I implore you this morning, treasure God's Word, read God's Word. And to the point of our text today, hold all teaching against God's Word and seek to live out your life as a godly life as demonstrated in God's Word. This is what we see from Paul. This is the rhythm. This is the method taught. This is the message delivered as he goes from region to region to place. And what we see this morning is simple. We see a group of people so committed to the Word of God that they sought to move, to shift, to align every aspect of their life to it. I want us to see this with three actions this morning. And I want us to begin with this action. We as the people of God must examine the teaching by the Scriptures. So we are introduced to this next region or this next place. Paul, still in Macedonia, he's left Thessalonica and he heads about 45 miles southeast to Berea. We know a little bit about this region or this area. It was a Greek city. It was a Greek city under Roman control, but it had a large Jewish population, a population large enough to have a synagogue, a place of worship. And you notice, I mentioned last week, immediately upon getting to town, Paul wasted no time. What did he do? He came to town, he found a church, if I can use that word, and he engaged in teaching. The text tells us, when they arrived, they went into the Jewish synagogue. Paul has been run out of the last place. He's been asked to leave several times by this point. He's been threatened with violence. He's been engaged in violence against him. And yet he continues to teach and to lead. But this group is special. He gets to Berea, and we're told, these Jews, the Jews in Berea, were more noble than those in Thessalonica. They received the word with all eagerness, examining the Scriptures daily to see if these things were so. From this, we get three unique characteristics of the Bereans. First, our text tells us they are noble people. That word has many different meanings depending on the context, but biblically speaking, that word noble can be defined as to possess a humble, honorable, and teachable spirit before God, shown especially by a reception of His word and submission to the Scriptures. We could say they were a teachable people. They were noble in that they were willing to accept truth. And secondly, and related to that, they received the word with eagerness. They were hungry for the word of God. I can think of nothing greater in my short stint as a teacher than to have a teachable student. I would rather have a teachable student than a smart student. I would rather have a teachable student than an attentive student. I would rather have a teachable student than a present student. Because if they were teachable, they could hear, they could interpret, and they could apply what you said, making them far more valuable. than anyone else. The Bereans were teachable. They were eager and they were willing. But there's a caveat to that. To be blindly teachable is to be foolish. To just accept what you are taught without understanding or applying or being able to fit it to your circumstance is not wisdom. Notice the third characteristic here of the Bereans. They examined the Scriptures daily. They examined the Scriptures daily to see what Paul was teaching and how it lined up with the Word of God. This is what makes the Bereans the most intriguing to me. It does not say they were antagonistic. It does not say they were critical. It does not say that they were doubtful. But what it does say is they accepted and received what was taught, and then they said, give us a minute, and then they went to the Word and said, is that what it says? They did not devalue Paul. They did not belittle his authority as a teacher, but what they did do was hold him to the standard. I remember seeing once a fishing tournament, and this guy won this fishing tournament soundly. And I don't know how it came about, but an accusation of cheating came up. And so the judges took the fish, and noticing some mass on the fish that did not belong, they took a scalpel and cut the stomach of the fish open, out which fell lead balls. You see, the scales reported a certain weight. That weight was accurate. That weight was true. That weight was not accurate according to the fish. It was made up. It was inflated. It did not bear actual truth. May we be like those judges. May we lovingly and with respect take a scalpel to what we are taught to make sure the weight is in line with what it should be. We must be a people who are committed to God's standard. Read God's Word. Study God's Word. Ask questions of God's Word. I can promise you this, and I mean this with all sincerity. Me, Dr. Scholl, any of your elders will never get upset or be bothered if you come up to us after a service, or even better on Monday, and say, hey, Pastor, can you explain that again? Can you help that make more sense to me? I heard what you said, but if we see this passage or we look at it in this text, isn't that a little contradictory? Oh, the joy that that brings us to get those reports, to have those questions. Because God's Word is not only true, it's consistent. God will not and cannot contradict Himself. What you're studying in your own personal Bible studies will also be in line with what James, the brother of Christ, says in the book of James, and it will match what is said here in Acts. And so if you see a contradiction, please let us know. Tell me, because I'm fallible. I'm prone to error. I make mistakes. But remember, William Tyndale did not fight and bleed and die for the Bible to be translated to a language for the preachers. They already could read it. They were reading the Latin, some of them. William Tyndale fought and bled and died for the Word of God to be translated in English for the people. Why? So they could read and study. This side of heaven, we may not understand all aspects of Scripture perfectly. And so I give you a caveat to everything I just said. Please come, ask your questions. Let us know. Let's have discussions. Let's go out for coffee. Let's talk the deep matters of theology. But be ready to accept, I don't know. I'm not exactly sure what the Nephilim are. I don't know. I've preached it twice, and I still struggle with that passage. I don't understand the writing on the wall in the book of Daniel. Ezekiel confuses me completely. I don't know how it ends in the book of Revelation other than Jesus wins and we're going to be there for it. But I know that all that we teach, all that we believe, all that we practice, all that we seek to do, we do so using this as the standard. And that will set us apart from all others. It is my joy and my life study to understand the Word of God. I'm not there yet. May you do the same. And so the first thing that we must do to be like the Bereans, to live as godly Christians, is to search the Scriptures. As we continue in our text, the next thing we see unique to this group of people is that we are to respond to the Scriptures, especially the gospel message. And in this is kind of similar to what we saw in Thessalonica. Many of them, therefore, believed, with not a few Greek women of high standing as well as men. On the surface, the point of this is simple. Many people believed. Greek people believed. Women in the church believed. And I love how Luke likes to say it this way. He doesn't say a lot of people. He says not a few. I don't know why he chooses it that way, but he means a lot. And so on the surface, we read this, and they responded to the presentation of the gospel, and they believed. There's a follow-up point, though, that I don't want us to miss that's kind of bedded here. And it's this. As individuals, and especially parents unto our children, what marked the Bereans as unique? They were a people committed to the Scriptures. They lived with the Word of God. They taught the truth of God. They examined truth against the truth of God. And they sought to make that the normal aspect of every aspect of their life. They were not ignorant of the Scriptures. Now, they may not have understood Christ. That's what Paul was there for, is to help them see Christ and see Christ in the Scriptures. But they were not afraid to test and measure and weigh the truth against it. So, what is the application for us here? What do we take away from this? You've heard me say this before from Acts, because Luke says it again from Acts. Church, parents, individuals, saturate your life, the life of your family, and particularly the life of your children with the Word of God. Make it the foundation, the bedrock. May it flow out of their ears. The Bereans believed what was taught, not because Paul came and delivered an expert sermon. They believed what was taught because Paul came and preached to tilled soil, to hard tilled soil, to soil that the foundation had been laid through time and time and time again, exposure to the Scriptures. I would take it even further. Paul didn't do anything. The Holy Spirit did through Paul. The Holy Spirit moved in and through the lives of these people. Why? Because they were primed by a study, by a commitment, by a saturation of the Word of God. To get very practical for us today, what does that mean, practically speaking? It means we must treasure our ministries here at this church, particularly those that are focused upon our children. We must examine what we teach our children. We must encourage our children to hear the Word of God. We must explain it to them. A great question was asked in Sunday school, my Sunday school class today. How do we relate the hard topics to our children when they're preached or taught? The answer is carefully. The answer is not you don't. We must expose our children to the whole counsel of the Word of God. We must do so in our own life. We must do so in our marriage. We must do so in our work. Because we see a group of people here saturated and primed. And we must accept that conversion or transformation may not happen when we want it to. I know I've mentioned this before, but many of you, if you've told me your stories, you didn't see conversion until college, until later in life. Though you had the Scriptures as a child or as a youth, it wasn't till later that the Lord opened your eyes. That didn't mean that those seasons, those early seasons, were worthless or pointless. It just meant that the Lord had a little more work in store for you. And so I want you to see the beauty here that the Bereans believed. I don't want to minimize that. I don't want to make little or make light of that. At the same time, I don't want you to ignore that there were some people that did not, that would not believe. And in fact, it's the very same people from last week. Paul goes on from Thessalonica to Berea. The Jews, the grumbling, complaining, problematic Jews, they followed him. It apparently took a little longer for them to get there, but they finally got there. And what does Luke tell us? It says, they came agitating and stirring the crowd. One commentator, he said something interesting about this situation, that in these times, the law or the standard was more regional. And so although Paul had been acquitted in Thessalonica, it didn't mean they couldn't re-bring up the charges in Berea. And that's effectively what they did, is they decided they're going to gum Paul's life up with problems. And they were going to be that problem. They were going to follow him. And where he went, they were going to go. And where he taught, they were going to complain. And so what do? Their goal is to get rid of Paul. And if we could get rid of Paul, we could get rid of the problem. We do not like his teaching. We do not like the effect it has upon the people. Therefore, the only solution is to run him off, lest the message take a hold again. This is a sad but true reality. This is a tactic used by the devil today. Stirring up the masses is a great way to get something done. Isn't this the very tactic used that led to Christ's crucifixion? When choosing between Jesus and Barabbas, the crowd had been worked up to choose Barabbas. This means we as Christians, we must be all the more vigilant. We must strengthen our churches. We must equip the saints. We must prepare for battle. Because challenges will come. Opposition will come. And so we must be ready. We see that here in our third section of the text, in the final two verses. And here's the thing. All of this is what we must do. But above that, or over all of that, is what God is doing. And it's amazing how often those things work together. So the complaining Jews, their goal was to get rid of Paul. And they did. They succeeded. Paul heads off to Athens. Victory, right? We got rid of the troublemaker. We got rid of his teaching. We got rid of his message. This will stop and life can go back to normal. We can have peace and control and authority, and everyone will go along with everything that we tell them to do. That's their hope. That's what they think. Two problems to that. One, the people themselves. You take the Bereans. You open their eyes to the importance of Christ in the Scriptures. You show them how from the Old Testament, Christ was the promised Messiah, the one to come, to live, to die, and to rise again. How do you expect that group of people to go back to the incomplete message of Judaism? How do you expect that group of people that have had their eyes open, that see the truth of the Scriptures, to willingly go back to blindness or an incomplete message? The Bereans weren't going to have it. So the Jewish elites, they weren't really thinking clearly. Getting rid of Paul is of no consequence because it's the people themselves have access to the truth of God's word, and they will demand it to be rightly applied to their lives and the lives of their people. Particularly through the power of the Holy Spirit. Once they have seen it, they cannot unsee it. But the second problem for the Jews, and this is a big problem, they ran off Paul but left Timothy and Silas. Did you catch that there? Paul heads off to Athens, and as they're kind of running him out of town, I see this picture in my head of them chasing them off, and as the dust settles, it's a cartoon in my head, as the dust settles, there's just Timothy and Silas standing there in the middle of the street. Like, oh, they forgot us. What would Timothy and Silas have gone and done? They would have gone to the church. They would have preached. They would have taught. They would have strengthened the people. Now, Timothy and Silas are not apostles. They do not have the gifts, the extraordinary gifts of the Spirit. But we're at a portion in the book of Acts that we're going to start to see a transition take place. we're going to start to see a diminishing of the extraordinary, the miraculous, and an elevation of the ordinary. What would have happened in Berea? They would have had church. They would have gathered for worship. They would have had fellowship. They would have encouraged one another. They would have committed to one another. They would have engaged in the means of grace, word, sacrament, prayer. Paul may have left, but in reality, Paul needed to leave. Paul could not be there forever. Paul was one. He was an apostle ordained by God for the kickstart of the church age. But Timothy and Silas, they're preachers. And we come and we go. Hopefully for a long time, we come. But as one goes, the other comes. Count Zinzendorf, one of my favorite quotes of a theologian, one we share as preachers often, it says this: preach, die, and be forgotten. That sounds morbid, but the truth of it is, be faithful to the word of God and trust that whoever God sends next will be faithful to the word of God. I don't care that you're here to hear Aaron today. That's neat if you are. I care that you're here to hear the word of God, because that's what the Bereans did. They heard the word of God. And whoever is in this pulpit and whoever comes after me, I pray that you are taught the word of God. You see, in some ways, having Timothy and having Silas, they start a saga and an epic that we haven't left. Paul was extraordinary and marked an extraordinary moment in time. But Timothy and Silas and some of these preachers that came after, we're still in that age, aren't we? Of regular, ordinary preaching and teaching. And so yes, the Jews might have gotten rid of Paul. But all that was accomplished was to bring the church to a healthier state and to push it forward in this mission of making disciples, of growing the saints, and living godly lives together. It's amazing to me that the Jews got what they wanted and God got what he wanted. And God used what the Jews wanted to get what he wanted. See how it works? He used their goals, their desires, their plans to accomplish his divine will. As we think about that today, dear church, I pray that we're asking God, where are you revealing your will in our church? Where are you revealing your will in our lives? And I pray that we would be like the Bereans. So my greatest desire is that elder would often ask, that it would be said of any of us, that it would be said of all of us, that we are like they, that we would commit ourselves to the reading of the scriptures and examining ourselves against it. That goes for these sermons. It's not a surprise. You know where we're going next. We're going to be in Acts, Lord willing, the rest of this calendar year. You can break it down. If you want to email me, I'll give you the outline. I've got it broken down until the end of December. We're going to be in Acts. If you want the commentaries that we're reading and that we're studying, the Pillar Commentary Series, phenomenal. The Tyndale Commentary Series, phenomenal. Anything Boyce ever wrote, you would never go astray. Get it, read it, study it, question it. Let's talk about it. As we have VBS next week, Lord willing, examine what is taught against the Scriptures. You better make sure as parents that what we teach at VBS is in line with the Word of God. That's on us, but that's also on you. Our Sunday nights as we go through the Psalms, our Bible studies, our book studies, whatever it may be, weigh it against the Word of God, because this is the only thing we can guarantee is true in this world. It's the only standard we can measure it against. And pray that we as a church would be defined, that we would be marked by, that we, when people speak of us at Main Street, they would say, they sure do love the Word. And I mentioned this last week, and I will conclude this morning. Pray for your leaders. More selfishly, pray for me and for Dr. Scholl as we have the weighty, joyful task of preaching. God will hold us to account to what is said and to what we teach. May it be accurate. May it be faithful. May it be relevant. One of the saddest things I see today in the world are preachers who are not. One of the saddest things I see are churches that are led astray by charismatic leaders who are more interested in selling their own books than telling their people the truth. May it never be said of me, may it never be said of us. We have God's word, may we use it. May we use it well. Would you please pray with me? Dear Heavenly Father, what a blessing it is that you have preserved your word, that you have given it to us faithfully and accurately, that we can trust it, that it's in a language that we can read, that we have access to the original copies, and that with some study of Hebrew and Greek, we can read it in its original context. But even so, as you've blessed us with a good translation, I pray, O Lord, we would not let it be, but that we would take advantage of it, that we would study, that we would consider, that we would weigh all things against you and your word, that we would seek to live our lives this way, that we would seek to work ethically according to your standard, that we would seek to parent according to your standard, that much like the Puritans, another group of people to me that exemplified having your word in all aspects of your life, may we learn to live and may we learn to die by your standard. Lord, I pray for my own heart and I pray for your people that you would continue to work your word in us. May it flow from us and out of us. I pray for our children that they would know your word, that they would believe your word, and that it would transform their lives as you continue to grow them into godly men and godly women. We pray this, O Lord, for our church, for your people, and for the church. We ask this in Christ Jesus' name. Amen.